We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
It's been a good day. Still a good day. It's always a good day, but it's been a sweet morning. God has been good. We've had an opportunity to fill this box up two different times other than now and sing those songs and just recognize together with brothers and sisters in Christ that Jesus is Lord, that He's alive, that He is our only hope. Guys, He is all that we have going for us, period. Our salvation is not dependent on anyone else. It is dependent on Christ alone. This morning, if you've got your Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me. We'll read the Easter story. You know it, but I feel it's just fitting always to read it and be reminded of it. You've gone to Easter after Easter many, many times. Just think back all the Easters you've gone to. Think about, you know, when you came with mom and daddy or you came with grandparents, you know, just sitting there. It's always special to be able to do together, ministry together, worship and sing praise to the Savior together. And it's so familiar, this passage. We know it beginning in chapter 24 of the book of Luke, starting in verse 1 there. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?' And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." Very familiar passage here. The Easter story was not something that surprised Jesus. He knew it was coming. He tells them right there. The angel says, "Don't you remember? He said he was coming into the city and he was going to be put on trial and he was going to be turned over and they were going to crucify him and he was going to rise again on that third day." So often we come into Easter and we hear a story that's very familiar. We've been watching it on Facebook and social media for the last week, since Palm Sunday at least. Remember Sunday? It's Monday, but Sunday is coming. It's Wednesday, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. It's all over the place. You cannot turn much on and not see people talking about the resurrection, talking about this day. This is a powerful day in the history of the church. It's a powerful day. No other religion, no other belief, no other group has a risen Lord like we do. We know that. You know that. But here's the thing. I said this twice now, and I'll say it again. I believe that inside of not just this church, but churches all over the place, they're sitting three different groups right now. There are those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior. There are those who have trusted Jesus. I was saved as a 9-year-old kid. Vacation Bible School is when I got saved. I went back in the room. The teacher of Vacation Bible School would always give out candy. I go back into the room, and all I wanted was a lollipop. In my sock drawer is a green lollipop, and it's a reminder. Every day I open it up to get my socks out, and there's a green lollipop. That's where it all started. I went back to the back to get a green lollipop. That's all I wanted. You know the blow pops? You chew, and you get to the bubble gum in the middle. You know what I'm talking about? That's what it was. But the teacher there started asking questions, saying, "Hey, is that all you're here for?" And she was led by the Holy Spirit, and she walked me through the gospel. She shared Christ with me, and I, as a 9-year-old boy, trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. 47 years old today, so I've been almost a Christian almost 40 years now. It's crazy to think about it. But I've walked with Christ perfect all those times, all those years, all those days? No. But I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If you were to ask me, "Hey, if you died today, where would you go?" I'm going to heaven. Why? Because you're a preacher? Because you can talk? Because you do? No, has nothing to do with any of that. He saved me as a kid when I had done none of that. He saved me when I was just a little fella. Wasn't a preacher. Wasn't good.
I remember my story was I wanted more candy. I didn't want Jesus. People come in churches just like this, come in on Easter. They're not wanting Jesus. They're just here because they were invited. But when Christ finds you, he does something. When Christ finds you, he transforms you. He brings you from that death to that life. I was a kid. I just wasn't expecting anything. You know, your story, you may not have been at VBS. You may not have been looking for candy. But if you've trusted Christ as Savior, somebody somewhere along the way, it could have been during a church service, could have been an Easter service, it could have been at a camp, it could have been something happening at school, it could have been a revival. Where was it? Remember where you were when Christ found you? You remember? That's a sweet place, isn't it? That's a sweet thought. Many of you have that. There's another group of you in that room. You have it, but here's the deal. You're not walking in obedience. You know Jesus is your Savior. You know him personally, but you for whatever the reason, have found yourself drifting. You're not where you should be. Remember when you first got saved? I remember when I was a kid. I can't tell you how many times I've read that book. I was a kid. I went in, and I just started reading. I just swallowed it. I mean, I'm just reading. But guess what happens? You know what happens. Life happens. And you catch yourself drifting. You catch yourself finding, you find yourself in places that you ought not be. And you get out of the Word, and you get out of the prayer, and you kind of get away from where you know you should be. And he convicts you. The Spirit of God convicts you, and he draws you back. The Bible says, to him who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. We know how to act. We know what the Word of God has clearly commanded us. We know we're to hide his Word in our heart that we might not sin against him. We know that, but we allow life. We allow all that happens to just get us far away. There's a group that knows Jesus and is on fire, and there's a group that may have drifted for whatever the reason. You're not in the Word. You're not praying. You're not doing what you should. Church attendance, you're here. It's Easter. Everybody goes on Easter. Next Sunday's not Easter. Where are you going? See there? That's how it works. You know you should be. You know you ought to. But just the dirtiness of this life has drowned it out, messed it up. It's just pulled you away. Then there's another group in here altogether that don't know Christ, period. You know information about him. You know facts about him. You know what Easter's about. You knew what that Luke passage was before I read it. You know what them women find when they get to that tomb. Another gospel tells that they're sitting there even having a conversation about how we're going to move the rock. Remember? Pilate, so that they wouldn't steal the body, so they wouldn't do anything, put this big rock in front of it and put guards and soldiers around it. We know the facts. We know the information. It's public. But having an intimate relationship with Christ is different. Do you know the Bible? Do you know not just the Bible? Do you know God's will for you is to have an intimate relationship with Christ? Look with me. Look over with me in the book of John. John chapter 6 this morning. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible, God himself literally wants you to know him personally. This isn't preacher talk. You're looking at it yourself. This is what the words say. In John chapter 6 verse 40, this is what the Bible literally says. I'm going to read it. It says, "For this is the will of my Father." Everybody wants to know God's will. I mean, we just do. We want to know God's will. We want to be in the center of God's will. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life, and I myself will raise him up in the last days." God desires you. God desires everyone to behold the Son and to believe in him and to have a relationship with him, to be brought from death to life. To behold the Son and to believe. That's what the Bible says is God's will for every person. That's the reason we do this. And you say, "Yeah, but that's not what I've heard." But that's what the Bible says. And that's where we get messed up sometimes. "Well, I always thought this." Well, did the Bible say it? No. Where'd you hear it? Well, somebody told me. Did they read the Bible? Well, they said they did. Did you read it? No.
For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up at the last days. That is sweet. You're talking about a sweet Easter story. This Savior, this Jesus, nobody else had a Savior who came back to life. Nobody else had someone die for them like we did. We as believers, we who are Christians, we who are Christ followers have had someone literally die on the cross for us, take the punishment that we deserve. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Have you ever lied? We all have. Have you ever taken something that wasn't yours? We all have. You ever thought something you shouldn't have? We all have. Mama ever said clean your room and you didn't? Bible's Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. If you didn't do it, guess what? You broke one of the Ten Commandments. We're all guilty. We're all sinners. God's got us. Question is, the problem is, God doesn't let sin in his perfect heaven. See the problem? For the wages of sin is death. There's a consequence to sin. There's a consequence to our rebellion. There's a consequence to our disobedience. And there's nothing that we can do to forgive ourselves. There's nothing we can do to wash that sin away. We stand before God guilty. To him who knows the right thing to do, we know we shouldn't lie. We know we shouldn't steal. We know it's not mine. I can't take it. We know that. To him who knows the right thing and does not do it, to him it is sin. And therefore we've sinned. Not based on what someone else says, but based on what our own conscience tells us. And then when the Spirit of God gets a hold of you, and when the Spirit of God starts working inside of you, and you start wrestling with that, you start wrestling with the fact of, what am I going to do with this Jesus? What am I going to do? The Bible says God's will for me is to behold and to believe. And what am I going to do with this Jesus? Go with me back over to that Luke passage. Go to Luke 24. We just read it. And go back just a chapter. You know, people's last words are really important, and some of Jesus' last words are very, very important. One of the last conversations, real conversations that Jesus has on this earth is with the guys on the cross. I mean, it's real. You know, there was two criminals. Remember, there's three wooden crosses up there. Jesus and these two other criminals. They were convicted of crime, and they deserved to die. Remember Christ? He says it. Look, I'm going to be tried, and I'm going to be found guilty, having done nothing wrong, and they're going to turn me over, and they're going to crucify me, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. These other guys had sinned. These other guys were just common criminals. But I want you to look at a conversation. Look at the conversation and notice what happens. In Luke chapter 24, look at verse 30. This is their conversation on the crosses. And you know, I'm being as real as I possibly can. The John 6 passage says, "For this is God's will, that everyone who beholds the Son believes." And you know, a lot of people get caught up in, well, this group believes this and this group believes this and I'm confused, I don't know what to believe. This is what the Bible says. Luke chapter 23 verse 39 says, "One of the criminals who was hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other answered, rebuking him, and said, 'Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?'" Notice verse 41. "And we indeed are suffering justly." He's like, look, we belong here. It's right that we're here. We're the liars. We're the thieves. We're the criminals. We deserve to be here.
For we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. Listen. But this man did nothing wrong. We're the sinners. He's not. We're guilty. He's not. We're getting what we deserve. He's not. And notice what he says to Christ. Verse 42, and he was saying to Jesus, listen, it's not complicated, church. And he was saying to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Remember me. And he said to him, truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise. That's it. Here hangs a criminal. Here hangs a guy who was condemned to death on a cross. He could not. Look, it doesn't matter what you've been told. It doesn't matter what you've heard or thought. He did not. They do not. Notice how quick, back to back, it's like, hey, remember me when you get into your heaven? And Jesus is like, today you'll be with me in paradise. They did not pull him down and go throw him in a baptistry. They did not pull him down and make him go through a new members class. They didn't pull him down and make him go back to Sunday school, remember the 23rd Psalms, the Beatitudes, the Roman road. He didn't have to repeat after me. He didn't have to do anything. What did he simply do? He simply acknowledged who Christ was and who he was. He simply acknowledged, hey, I am in a mess. I have nothing left. I'm at the end of my rope. I've done everything wrong. He's done nothing wrong. He acknowledged. He acknowledged. I deserve this. He don't. I'm guilty. He's not. I'm the sinner. He's sinless. And as humbly as he knew how, he just said, Jesus, remember me. A lot of people say, Brother Shannon, you don't know what I've done. What do you think this guy did? Brother Shannon, you don't know how bad I've been. How bad do you think this guy's been? How many people do you think this guy's hurt? How many family and friends has this dude betrayed? How many lies has he told? He didn't come down and go fix it all. Nowhere in those two verses do you see him climbing down and going to everybody he's hurt and saying, look, I'm sorry. That didn't happen. He dies hours later. He didn't have a chance to go fix it with the people. But you know what he did do? As humbly as he could, fell on the mercy of Jesus. Remember me. Just remember me. I'm getting what I deserve. Just remember me. Have mercy on me. How could anybody look at that Jesus and reject him? That's the gospel. God desires for you to be saved. God desires for you to be his. God desires. Listen, don't matter what you've done. It don't matter who you've hurt, how many lies you've told. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're here. God gave you Easter 24 and you're hearing this. You could have been at any sermon. You could have been in any church, but you're hearing that. Wait a second. Here's a dude that simply asked Jesus to remember him when he went into his paradise. And Jesus said, truly, truly, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Remember I told you there's three groups. One group has said, Jesus, remember me. Save me. I admit I'm just like him. I admit I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. I need hope. That other group, they know it. It's just clouded right now.
You know it, but you're not living like you should. You're not where you ought to be. And then there's that other group that's sitting there saying, you know what? I need that Jesus too. I need him to remember me. I need him to forgive me. I need him to be my Lord. I need him to come and forgive me. You may be thinking, well, I just always thought I did too bad, but I didn't do this bad. I always thought I wasn't forgivable. He sure ain't, but God did. You may be sitting here thinking, the Spirit of God's telling you that, hey, that's, you're just like that dude. You're just like him. Guilty. But I can forgive you. He can still forgive you. Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me read you. We've been reading the whole time. I'm not going to quote it. Go Romans. Take your Bible. Turn to Romans chapter 10. This is what the Bible says. Romans chapter 10. Beginning in verse 9 says this. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Your Bible in your lap reads this way. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's Easter, y'all, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Look at verse 11. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. You think that thief on the cross is disappointed right now in paradise with Jesus? No. Look at verse 12. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. He doesn't show partiality. You know what? You know what's so amazing? He would have saved the other criminal too. He would have saved. He would have saved the other one as well. How many people get that close to Jesus and reject him? Hanging the same distance apart from him. One said, remember me, and one rejected him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord to be saved. So simple. Not complicated. God's will is that none perish, no, not one. God's will is that every person believe. Jesus said, John chapter 6, verse 40, before he died on the cross. So John chapter 6, verse 40 was before the conversation of him and the two men on the cross. Jesus' desire was even for the other guy to be saved as well. But he wasn't. Jesus' desire is for you to be saved too. There's nothing stopping it. Can't blame him. Can't look at God and say, you did this to me. Can't look at God and say, it's your fault. We stand before God without an excuse. You've beheld him. You've seen him. God's will is whoever sees him, got to believe in him. That one guy on the cross, he saw him, but all he wanted was get me down, and he cursed him, and he was like fussing with him, and he was calling him out. And then the other one who actually believed in him said, hey, he didn't do nothing wrong, we did. He didn't deserve this. We did. Don't reject Jesus. Don't reject him. This morning, you can trust him. You can believe in him. You say, Brother Shannon, what do I do? What did he do? See, that's the thing. Listen to me. Don't do what people say do. Do what Christ said do. What did that guy do? He hung there with nothing to offer, and knowing that he was about to die, knowing that he was guilty, knowing that he was at the end of his rope, he could not do anything to change it. All he could do was throw himself on the mercy of Christ. Remember me. Guys, that's all any of us do, is we throw ourselves on the mercy of Christ. And he promises us that whoever calls on him will be saved. You want to be saved? You want to be? I can't answer that for you, but your spirit inside of you is saying, yes, I do. I want us to bow our heads this morning. If that's you and you're saying, I want to be, then why not right there? Why not right there where you are? Say, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, I'm like him. I am a sinner just like he was. I've messed up. I can't save myself. There's nowhere else to turn. Save me, Jesus. I give you my life. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you know you're a whosoever. Those two guys on the cross was whosoever's. One believed and one rejected. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came in the world so that the world through him might be saved. If you've asked him to forgive you, if you've asked him to come into your life and save you, if you've trusted him and start running after him with everything you've got. Hey, you, that second one I talked about early, you know how I said there's that other group that you know Christ, but you're just not living for Christ? Then why don't you just start? Just start. Get back to your first love. Get back to who saved you. Get back to where you know you should be. Stop playing. Stop wasting. Don't waste one more day. Don't waste one more day. Stop it. And fully surrender. Father God, you see them. You hear them. You hear them, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for having mercy. Thank you for forgiving. Thank you for remembering. Thank you for saving. Thank you, Jesus, for doing what only you can do. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.